Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
100 years of mission. Those of you who don't know who are visiting us for the first time, we are celebrating 100 years of this church. Of Pneuma Church, initially in Richmond. That's where our main campus is in Richmond. And this year's our 100th birthday. How good is that? Smith Wigglesworth preached on the pulpit. Technology helps if you put the right password in, hey? So we're excited. So on the 16th of June is our DTN Sunday. I didn't even speak to into the, sorry, 22nd, thanks. That's why you're on the front row. The 22nd is our DTN Sunday. I know last year we had International Day and we had the flags and the food, but I think it's a little bit too soon. We'll maybe look at that next year. Oh, we'll create something, Shells, down the track. Not now, not in June. We had a big day last week. All right, you ready for the word? Why are you so quiet? This group is never quiet. And normally they're rowdy quiet. Please don't be quiet. I need feedback. Yeah, great. Good. Thanks, Nick. This week we commence our new series, and our new series across all of the Pneuma locations is called Discipleship. Discipleship, those of you who are not aware, is actually the heartbeat of Jesus. Right at the end, before he went up to be with the Father, he said, make what? Disciples of all nations. So discipleship is the heartbeat of Jesus and should also be the heartbeat of every believer, every Christian. Jesus did not call us just to believe. He called us to be disciples and make disciples. But if we're honest with ourselves, is it all right to be honest? You know, JJ likes to be transparent. He likes to be honest. If we are really honest with ourselves, we have to realize the fact that many believers and even church families, including our own, haven't fully embraced the call to disciple, be a disciple, and discipleship. Make disciples. How do I know? Go look at the fruit in the church, capital D, capital C. You see, if each believer was really discipling or was a disciple and was making disciples, then there would be phenomenal growth in the church across the globe. Let me give you an example. We're about 400 adults, plus minus 400 to 600. Let's call it 400. Let's be conservative. 400 adults here at Pneuma East. If each one of us, in 1 year, 1 year only, made one disciple, that would be 400 disciples. That means that next year, January, we would start with 800 people. We'd be looking for a new building, of course, but that's a different topic. But 800 people starting at January next year, and if each one of us, each 800, only made one disciple, that would be an extra 800, which would make it 1,600. That's year two. Year three, 1,600, each made one disciple, that would be 1,600 extra, which would make it 3,200. We were clearly not sitting in this building any longer. What am I saying? I'm saying it's time that we start making disciples and being disciples and start making disciples. You see, real kingdom growth isn't people moving from one church family to another. That's not real kingdom growth. Yes, we grow, our seats are full, but our seats should be filled with new disciples. We should each one here be sitting with a disciple next to us. That's how they work in the church in Korea. That's how Yonggi Cho's church, Pastor Yonggi Cho's church, went into the millions. Discipleship. Real kingdom growth is what? It's not people moving from church family to church family. It's lives transformed by the gospel. That's it. That's real growth. And I own that. I own that. I said that to somebody between the services. Discipleship has not has not been a big thing in my life. Identity is. Identity is my forte. I love identity. Why? Because I once did not walk in my true identity. But I do now. A little bit more about that later. So here we are. I have said this before. I said this at the beginning of the year, that if you don't grow as a New Middle East family, if your life is not transformed in this year, then Pauline and I have not done our jobs well. We've actually failed you. Because that's what we've been entrusted with. However, there is a disclaimer. You can't go, oh, I'm not growing. It's their fault. Nope. Here's the disclaimer. Here's the disclaimer. The disclaimer is this. We can teach you and we can love you and we can challenge you and we can encourage you, which I think we are. We are doing this. But you have to play your side. You have to bring your part. You have to take on the challenge. You have to embrace the change. You have to want to be transformed. Otherwise, all we're doing is we're creating spiritually fat Christians. I'm not saying you're fat. I'm saying spiritually fat Christians. Okay? That is why we spoke about identity for the last couple of weeks. Even last week, we spoke about identity, about being sons and daughters, because sons and daughters, we have to walk in our true identity as sons and daughters. That's why if I talk to the young ones, I'm actually, even in our life group, because Pauline and I are running the young adult life group, in our life group, we've just been talking about for the whole year about identity. Because when they get identity, when it moves from I know I'm a son to I know I'm a son, they will walk differently, they will talk differently, they will live differently. That's how come identity is important. But it doesn't stop at identity. The next question that we got to ask is, what do sons and daughters do? What should sons and daughters do? The simple answer is they should follow Jesus and make others like him. They should follow. Every single one of us should be following Jesus and make disciples like him. In other words, we now move from identity to action. From being sons and daughters to being disciples and then becoming disciple makers. That is called discipleship. That is what discipleship is. So we're going to unpack that today, but before we do, let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. Holy Spirit, help us to receive. Help us to hear the word. Help us to receive the word and help us to put this word into action is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The sermon title that I have for today is The Call to Follow, The Call to Follow. And I'm going to start off where I left off 2 weeks ago when I was talking about identity with the scripture John 1:12. It's going to be on the screen. It says this, to those who received him and believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Those who received him and believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. If you are sitting in this room and you have received him as Lord and Savior and you believe in him, you are a son or a daughter of God. You are. There are no other hoops to jump through. None. There is no spiritual probation that you're on. There's no performance review either. It's not, one day I will become a son and daughter. No. You are already one. The moment you received and believed, you got the right to be a son and daughter. You are a son and daughter. I said this. This was one of my sermons a couple of weeks ago. You can go listen to the podcast if you have missed it. But I also said this in that sermon. You're not trying to become a child of God. You are already a child of God. You're not trying to become one. You are learning to live like the one you already are. That's it. You see, learning to live as a son or a daughter of God is central to the whole discipleship process. This is discipleship. Here's why. Because identity precedes activity. Identity's got to come first. That precedes activity. Discipleship is not just what we do, but about the process of becoming. Now, I don't understand, JJ. You just said we're not becoming a child of God. We are already a child of God. Yes. Let's be clear. Identity, a child of God, is established at salvation. It's established at salvation. Discipleship is the journey of growth from that point on. So if this is the point that I give my life to Jesus, discipleship is this side as I journey, coming closer and closer to God. It's the process. That's what discipleship is all about. It's maturity. Discipleship is the journey of maturing in God. So why? So our character, our heart, our lifestyle reflect the identity we're already in. Is this all right? Okay, at the back there. Show me. Yeah, I see the thumbs up. That's good. Discipleship is this. Discipleship is kicking the stinking thinking of an orphan under the butt, Boucher, living with the confidence, the rest, the authority, and the power of a true son and daughter of God. That is discipleship. Kick the stinking thinking orphan mentality under the butt. Start living with that confidence because you are a son. You are already a daughter. Start living in the rest that he brings, the authority and the power. For you are fully loved. You're not half loved. He doesn't half love you. He loves you in totality. You are fully loved. You are fully known. He knows the hairs on your head. Except for Russ, because Russ has got just about no hair on his head. That's a joke, by the way. Of course he knows Russ. Russ did have hair once upon a time. Am I right? Yeah, you did. Okay, great. All right. And you are fully sent. So you are fully loved, you are fully known, and you are fully sent. You are actually royalty. Hello? You are royalty. There's no more walking like this if you're a son or a daughter. You are royalty. You are a prince and a princess in the kingdom of God. Son, daughter. Son, daughter. So where does this all start? Good question. This all starts in your call to follow. Everybody say follow. It's in your call to follow. And the scripture that I have, which I want to unpack today, is Mark 1, verses 16 to 20. If you've got your Bibles, get them out. We are students of the Word, so make sure you bring your Bibles along, because I'm going to tell you to underline words, highlight words. But I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Translation, which will be at the back. As Jesus was walking along the shore of the Lake of Galilee, he noticed two brothers fishing, Simon and Andrew. He watched them as they were casting their nets into the sea and said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will transform you into men and catch people instead of fish." Who catch people instead of fish? Immediately, everybody say immediately. 18 verse 18, immediately they dropped their nets and left everything behind to follow Jesus. Walking a little further, verse 19, Jesus found two other brothers sitting in a boat, along with their father, mending their nets. Their names were Jacob, James, and John, and their father Zebedee. Jesus immediately walked up to them and invited the two brothers to become his followers. At once, the first two, immediately, at once. Same thing. At once, Jacob and John dropped their nets, stood up, left their father in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. What are we seeing here? Right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he calls his first disciples. Discipleship is not JJ's term. Discipleship is nobody on this planet can take that term and say, "I coined it." No, they didn't. Jesus is the one that appoints the very first disciples, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, to do what? To follow him and fish for people. What do? Simon and Andrew, they leave the mending of their nets to follow Jesus. What does James and John do? They leave their father. Stop. That there is huge. Culturally, that is huge. Back in those days, Papa would be sitting there hoping that his two sons would take over the fishing business. He would hand those boats over and those nets over to his two sons. Even in today's terms, when a son leaves the house or when there's a businessman, he's hoping that his son will take over the business. Am I right? So it's still culturally. Culturally, that would have been a massive shock. But they leave their father to follow Jesus. What is the key concept here? Leave and follow. Are you seeing this? Leave and follow. What is the lesson that we can learn from this? We are called to leave behind the old, the known, the norm, the daily, and to do what? Embrace the new. Leave and follow. What is the old? The old could be an orphan mindset. We'll talk about it later. The old could be the old lifestyle, the old mannerisms, the known. What is the new? Being a son and a daughter of the Most High God. That should blow our minds. I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Just say that. I'm a, or whoever, son or daughter. I am a. Say it again. You know that in the beginning, I did not function in my ministry for, I don't know, we've been in ministry for over 30 years. I did not function as a son in my ministry. Until about 8 years ago, 8, 9 years ago, the concept of identity came up and I started trying to uncover this. And anyway, long story short, is that I would stand in front of the mirror and go, I am a son of God. I am a son of God. Did I believe it? It was here. But as I journeyed, it went from here to here. When I stand in front of you today and say, I am a son of God, don't mess with me. I'm a son of God. You mess with me, you mess with him. And I don't say that flippantly. You talk behind my back, he hears. I say to my kids, don't think I won't find out. I find out. I have a direct line. They stuff up, he phones me. Hey, you know what Jay's doing over at the moment? You know where Edward's at the moment? You ask my kids behind my back. Try that one with your kids, parents. Free. Just make sure you got a direct line with Father. Just saying. You see, Jesus didn't invite people to just follow rules. He invited them to follow him and in the process be transformed. Hello, that's key. He invited them to follow him and in the process be transformed. He said, come follow me and I will transform you. They didn't have to transform themselves. He was going to transform them. He is saying to you and me, come and follow me. I will transform you. The pressure is off you. You don't have to perform for him. Don't have to perform in anyway. If you know you're a son or you're a daughter, you don't have to perform. You see, transformation happens in what? In the leaving and the following. Look at that scripture. It's not going to be up there. You can look at it later. He said, come and follow me. They left. I will transform you. So the transformation happens in the leaving and the following. The leaving and the following. The following is what? Following, how do I follow? I learn, I glean, I understand, I embrace. I embrace my identity as a child of God. Following is not passive. It's not passive. It's a daily intentional response to leave stuff behind that no longer fits into my lifestyle as a son. It is a daily intentional response to leave behind all that stuff that no longer fits into your identity as a daughter. This may mean surrendering fear. I'm scared. No, you're not. You shouldn't be. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear. I'm worried. No, you're not. Because if you're a son or a daughter, he has given you a spirit of peace. Holy Spirit. Shalom. Maybe it's breaking of all patterns, addressing addictions, getting help with addictions, asking somebody to help you, going and seeing a counselor. Let's break off the pride. Do you know pride is not of God? Pride comes before the? How many people are not falling? Why? Because they are too proud to even come forward when there's an altar call. They are too proud to even put their hands up. They're too proud to ask for help. Pride is not of God. Maybe it's getting rid of pride. Maybe it's walking away from passive Christianity. You see, following is movement. Following is obedience. Following is faith in action. Three words. They're going to be up there soon. Following is this. I am at that point that somebody invites me to follow them, I have to move. Nick, jump on the stage, quick. If Nick says to me, come. I have to move to go. Number one. Number two, I have to be obedient. Now, in this circumstance, I will be obedient. So I'll come towards him, all right? And then sometimes this journey from here to him is a scary journey. So there is faith in action. Now, my faith is not in him. My faith is in God. So if God says to me, thanks, Nick, if God says to me, come and follow, I have to be, number one, I have to be obedient. Number two, I've got to move. And it's in the moving, it's in the faith action. We don't move because we are scared. We are scared because we're not walking in our true identity as sons and daughters. Movement, obedience, faith in action. That is what it means to follow Jesus. At the beginning of the year, I spoke about a graph. I said this, Paulina, my responsibility is to get you, let's say you're on your journey with Jesus, you're at a minus one. Our heart would be to get you from a minus one, let's say to a 0.5 in the right direction. Right direction, wrong direction, okay? Right direction, so we're in the right direction. From minus one to 0.5. If we have accomplished that through our teaching, through our discipleship, through our love, through whatever, encouragement, words of prophecy, guess what? That is progress. We are not expecting you to go from minus one to plus 10 and be perfect. That's not our heart. If anybody's got that expectation of you, I'd be running the opposite direction. You see, if you're here and you're at one, our heart would be that you would at least get to a 2.5. Or even a 1.5 is progress. Anything in this direction is progress. You getting me? Guess what? That is discipleship. That is part of discipleship. That's how come discipleship is so integral. Jesus said in Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and teach them. In the right direction. But that's not the pastor's job. That's all of our jobs. Look at the person next to you and say, he's speaking to you. Look to the other guy and say, he's definitely speaking to you. Are you ready? Are you ready? And you know what, folks? You know what, folks? Our example in all of this is Jesus. Jesus is always the example. You want to know how to do it? Take your Bible. Look what Jesus did. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Oh, maybe I should do that. This is the same kind of thing right here. You see, Jesus himself, what did he do? He modeled sonship. He modeled it. His entire ministry from day dot right to until the crucifixion and even thus after was from his identity as a son of the Father. Jesus himself said in John 5:19, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father do. You see, Jesus first lived in obedience. He lived in intimacy. He first lived in dependence of the Father. Then what did he do? He did that. Then he stops and he invites James and Simon. He invites his four disciples. Come, follow me. I'll transform you. But he didn't expect them, and I spoke about this at Easter, he didn't expect them to live what he hadn't lived. He's not expecting you and me to live in a lifestyle that he hasn't lived. He's already gone before us. He is the ultimate example. But guess what? He's inviting you. That's gone quiet. Everybody's like, yeah, great. Oh, I've got to go soon. I've got to go and put the roast on. Yeah, all that kind of things. No, stop. Lock the doors. He's inviting you. I can lock the doors now. Shells has got the key. Watch me. He's inviting you. Y-O-U. Exclamation mark. Underlined. I'm shouting at you. Yes, I am. Paulina says, if I do that, capitals, I'm shouting at her. Yes, I am, Paulina. I'm shouting. I need you to get this. He's inviting you into the same lifestyle he invited Simon, James, and all of them. In the same lifestyle that he lived before them. He's inviting you. He's inviting me. But the question is, what is discipleship? Good question. Discipleship is you maturing in sonship. Simples. You maturing in sonship. To be disciples, to be on the journey of transformation. Inch by inch. As long as you're going in the right direction. And you know what? He's so graceful. And so if you go this way for a little while, he still loves you. But he wants you to go this way. Paulina and I want you to go this way. Discipleship has been on the journey of transformation. To be a disciple is to live as a devoted follower, not as a follower. Devoted. Homework. Go and study the word devoted. What does it mean? Apply that to follower. Leave that with you. Being a devoted follower is learning from him. I'm giving you the answers already. Being a devoted follower is walking with him. Being a devoted follower is becoming more like him. Let's get on this graph again. You're sitting in church, you're learning, I hope. You're at life group, you're learning, I hope. You're in the word, you're learning, I hope. Guess what's happening? You're moving. You're getting to know him more. You're obeying. There's obedience. There's movement. Guess what happens then? You're walking with him. Guess what happens then? You're becoming more like him. Come and behold him. Isn't he captivating? You're beholding him. You become what you behold. Am I right? What are you beholding? You become what you behold. A disciple does not know about Jesus. A disciple reflects his character. He reflects his character. He carries his heart. He lives out his mission. Discipleship is moving from an orphaned mindset, an orphan mentality, to a sonship mindset. What does that look like, JJ? I'm glad you ask. So what I've done is I've compiled a table. This table gives you an orphan mindset. This table gives you the sonship mindset. So on the left-hand side, your left, this is how we think when we're not walking as sons or daughters. We live in fear of failure, rejection, punishment. But when you walk as sonship, you live with trust in the Father's goodness and grace. When you, in, as an orphan, you strive to earn love and approval. You need to tick the boxes to try and approve your own personal dad or your parents or your boss or somebody. But in, as a son, you rest in already being loved and accepted by God. You feel the need to prove worth through performance. In other words, your identity is in what you do, not in who you are. You see, when you're a daughter and a son, your identity, you know you're valuable. So your identity is in who you are, not what you're doing. A lot of the church at this point in time, their identity is in what they do. The more I serve around the place, the greater Pastor JJ is going to see me. And no. That is orphan mentality. You don't have to prove your worth. Here in Yuma East, you don't have to prove your worth. I already see you as God's chosen one. Paulina sees you as God's chosen one. Now you need to see yourself as God's chosen one. You see, God is distant, demanding, or disappointed. That could be father issues. Because your father was like that. My dad was like that. I dealt with a lot of orphan mentality. But God knows. God is close, kind, proud. And he's proud to call you his. He is so proud to call you his. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hold on. Personalize that. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. He's already proud to call you his because he sacrificed his son upon the cross. Independent and self-reliant. Am I perfect? Have I got all those? No, I don't. Ask my team. Ask my kids. The truth comes from the mouth of babes. I'm very independent, and I'm South African on top of it. Combine the two, ish. But, I get a check. My wife slaps me around the gills. And then I realize that I'm not dependent on myself. I'm only dependent on God. Let me tell you something. The building of this building. If I had not have been walking in my identity for the past 8 years, true identity, from here to here, true identity, I would have folded under the pressure of this book. But because I knew that I'm a son of God, doesn't matter the curveball that came my way. Yes, there were moments that I was in the fetal position in the corner. Yes, there were moments that Sung had to dry my tears. Yes, there were moments that Russ had to console me. Yes, there were moments that the team had to carry coffee and chocolate. Yes, there were those moments. But you know what? I still rose. I could rise up out of there knowing my dependence was on God. It's not like I've got it all together. I'm still on the path. Paulina's on that path. Another one, serves out of obligation. Views correction as rejection or shame. Sees correction as love, guidance from a good father. Let me speak into that one. I find that there's times, all right, because I dealt with the whole the rejection thing. That when rejection comes, when correction comes, or when I'm facing something, I've learned to not ask the question, why God? A lot of us ask the question, why? It's not why God, it's what now God. What do I need to learn in this situation? What do you want me to get under my knee, under my feet in this situation? Not why, what now? What now God? Make that one a new one for you. Feels like slave or servant in the house. I'm a co-heir, a son, daughter. Focuses on lack, scarcity, and survival. Lives with the mindset of inheritance, abundance, and purpose. What your heart is full of, your mouth overflows, yeah? There's many times that Pauline and I pull one another up. What do we always say? Oh, I haven't got money. What are you saying? I haven't got money. What are you prophesying? I haven't got money. Life and death lie in the power of the tongue. Just one word changes that whole sentence. I haven't got money yet. It's not yet in my budget. What am I saying? I'm saying that I live with a mindset of inheritance, abundance, a purpose. Because my Bible, your Bible says to me, he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He does not live out of lack. You're his son and daughter. You should not be living out of lack. But it's to go from this to that. Stop believing the lie and embrace the truth. Because the truth will set us free. I need to move on. This column. Thanks, Chewy. You're amazing. This sun-shaped mindset. This mindset. We've gone through it all. I'm not going to go through it again. But this column here. I'd be taking a photo of that one because that is the column that I want to name the discipleship column. Discipleship is movement, a journey. Working on those things is part of your journey to become mature in your sonship. Working on them, identifying. Okay, I need work on that one. I need work on that one. You may need work on them all. That's good. At least you know you've taken stock of where you're at. You see, when you fail that though, like if you dependent on God for all things and then all of a sudden you stuff up and you're not dependent on God and you're on this side, he doesn't look at you and go, you're a failure, and turn his back on you. No. He loves you even more. I'll give you an example. Right, so my son is learning to ride a bike. We all know what that looks like. Yeah. And he falls, grazes his knee, elbow, his chin, screaming, dust on his face, tears streaming down his face. I don't, as a father, turn my back on him and walk away from him going, oh, he's useless. What do? I run closer. Am I right? Fathers, are you speaking to me? I run closer. I pick him up. First of all, I check there's no broken bones. Then I go, oh, you'll be fine, son. You'll be fine. It's just a little bit of blood. Okay. It's a lot of blood. It's okay. Okay. Settle down. And then I take him in, take out the dental, clean the wound, put a band-aid on. He's still sobbing. Put a lolly in his mouth, sobbing less. Promise him an ice cream, sobbing less. What do I do then? Take him outside to try again. Am I right? You see, I know as a father, victory is his. I know he can do this. I know all he needs is perseverance. He will learn to ride his bike. That is an example of discipleship. What am I doing? I'm teaching him what I know. I'm teaching him what I know. And that is a great picture of our amazing, all-loving Father God. You see, when you stuff up here, he doesn't turn his back on you. He runs closer to you. He picks you up. He dusts you down. He says, well done, my son. Well done, my daughter. You're doing so amazing, so proud of you. Let's go again. One step at a time. One movement at a time. One yes at a time, moving in the right direction. And you know what? You will conquer this, he's saying to you, because victory is yours. The cross is empty. Victory is yours. It's not coming. It is yours. Another thing that he wants to say to you, sonship is yours. You're already my daughter. You're already my son. You don't have to prove yourself. You already are. Come on, let's get up. Let's go again. Because you are the heir. You are the heir. You're the co-heir. All I need you to do is to live as one. All I need you to do, son, is get up. Get on the bike. All I need you to do is try again. Father God is saying to you, all I need you to do is, come on, get up. It's yours. You can have it. It's yours. Victory is yours. feel God on that. Feel God on that. Folks, it's not instantaneous. Chuck that one out. It's not instantaneous. I give my life to Jesus. Now I'm an angel, Lord. No, not. I still got a lot of warts and all that I've got to get rid of. But he loves me, warts and all. He loves you, warts and all. You see, where does it start? The process to live as a child of God starts with your call to follow Jesus. Not just to believe in him, but to become like him. He said, come and follow me, and I will transform you. His call was to ordinary fishermen. In this room, there's a lot of ordinary people. Out there, there's a lot of ordinary people. Throughout this globe, there's a lot of ordinary people. He's not talking to certain people. He's talking to us all. If you can put on the other table, Chewy, it's a journey. Orphan mindset. I take a photo of that. What there do you need to let go? What there do you need to lay down? What there do you need to trust God to help you with? Maybe there's one, maybe there's two, maybe there's three, maybe there's all of that. That's a good place to start. That's a good place to start. That means you want to move. You want to move. How am I going to do this? Be back next week. I'll teach you how we're going to do this together. Next week is Pentecost Sunday. Next week, the power of God is going to be in this place at a new level. Next week, I'm believing that the fire of God will fall in this place. I believe that we're going to have a Pentecostal service like the old days, especially in South Africa. Okay, I don't. Tim, I'll let you know how what that looks like. Thanks. That'll be great. But what here do I need to let go of? What there do I need to lay down, leave behind? You've already identified stuff. You haven't got it all together. I know. I haven't got it all together. Nobody's got it all together except one person. His name is Jesus. That's why he's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father right at this point in time. We're on the journey to get there. Numa East. If you're visiting us, welcome to Numa East. We're a family, but Numa East family. Can you take up the challenge? Discipleship is not just something we want to do. It's something we are going to do. We are going to do. These seats need to be filled. Filled by our disciples. These two young guys here are two interns. They're our young disciples. But each one of you need to disciple somebody. It's not what I'm asking. It's what Jesus commanded. But before you can disciple, you need to be a disciple. Be one. Be one. So I want to pray for you. All your heads bowed. I'm going to make a generic altar call. And I am going to ask for a response. If you are here this morning and you are saying, wow, I am at this point in time functioning with an orphan mindset, orphan mentality. I need help. That's a good start. It's a good place to start. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Because I believe as you stand to your feet, God will see, God will answer. And God will help. So that's you. Stand to your feet right now. I'm not going to beg you. This is between you and God. You should know this. Don't let pride rob you of this moment. I'm not looking. The lights are even dimmed. I don't want to see who's standing and who's not standing. Just want you to be between you and God. I'm standing. Because every day I go, Lord, I need help to function more and more as your son. Because I need to mature. I need to mature. Right across this place, people are standing. I want you to open your hands. If you are standing, if you still want to stand, stand quickly. Just open your hands, everybody here. Standing. Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are right here, right now. We're standing because you have prompted us to stand. And what we're saying, Holy Spirit, is we need help. We need help to not only be followers, but be disciples. Not only be sons and daughters, but be disciples. Forgive us. Forgive us for having that orphan mentality, that orphan mindset, living like an orphan, even though we are sons and daughters. Thank you for the reality that we are sons and daughters. Thank you for the revelation this morning that we are sons and daughters, and that you're now calling us to follow you so that you can transform us. Oof. Help us, Holy Spirit, to follow Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit, to follow Jesus. Just there where you are, hands open, just say, help me, Holy Spirit, to follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you honor and glory and all the thanks for your patience with us as we fumble around. Help us to become, behold Jesus more and more. To move along that scale one inch at a time. Help us. Put your hands on your heart. Put both your hands on your heart. Just say this. Renew my heart, Lord. Wow. Wow. The picture I see is like the lock is unlocked. The lock, God's all about hearts today. The lock is unlocked. Oh, fresh blood flowing. Fresh anointing. Fresh. I declare from the crown of your heads to the soles of your feet, the power of God flow through each one and transform them. Help them to walk in boldness. Help them to walk in integrity. Help them to walk in your victory as sons and daughters. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just grab your.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.